Now, I love you, and I want to do something for you, and I'm trying to help you. That's why I tell you the truth. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you the truth. I'd have me a gimmick like all the rest of them, and I'd be working it, you know? And we'd be getting all that we could. But because I love you, I tell you the truth. I want you to go to heaven. A lot of things I could say along that line tonight. A lot of things. You know, running in here, folks, staying a few weeks, few months, declaring to the high God of heaven that you're going to get straightened out, and you ain't going to leave, and you're going to stay here, and then in a few days, taken off again, and then you run back, and in a few days, you done got sand in your shoes, and here you go again. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never be anything because you haven't got anything. The Bible said godliness with contentment is great gain, but you haven't got anything. You haven't even got contentment. You couldn't have godliness. I want to read just a little bit from First John, and I don't know what I'll say. It's probably a little late. I don't know. I did have some revelational things that I wanted to bring out. I desired to bring some revelation. I don't feel that much enthusiasm from the audience tonight toward revelation and the spiritual things. When we eat good and we don't fast and pray, there's no real enthusiasm about spiritual things because we become real natural. But Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as spirituals, because a lot of things in my heart I'd like to say. But if we desire the natural things of eating and drinking and worldliness and carnal thinking and joking and backbiting and all these things that are carnal, envy and strife, are you not yet carnal? Paul said, are you not yet carnal? Now you desire all these things, you know, do all these things, and you're not spiritual. What he means is that you do not have the mind of Christ. It's not active in your life. And the mind of carnality is active in your life. So then you're not going to get the revelation of Christ, because the things of God knoweth no man. It knoweth the Spirit of God. So then unless you have the mind of God, which is the Spirit of God, then the things of God won't come to it. It will come to the mind of Christ, but not to a human mind. So then you can never get it. I say again to you that God purifies our heart by faith. The pure in heart shall see God. God is the Spirit. Eyes of understanding, being enlightened, thus you see God. Otherwise, you never see God. To see God is to see life. To see life is to live. But the wicked shall never see God because they don't have a pure heart. For God is life, and the Bible said the wicked shall not see life, nor good when it cometh. And God is good. There's none good but God. Now, so then, when we see all these things, hear all these things, and understand all these things, then it makes us to realize where we are living, what we are doing, who we are, and the disappointment, if I knew tonight that I could not have what I've seen, the disappointment would be so terrible till I wouldn't have any words of description. It would be so terrible. But as long as we're half-hearted, it'll be that way. As long as we don't live right, do right, it'll be that way. I was talking to some of them today, the younger fellas, and some of them not too young, about their long hair. Most of my young fellas pulling in pretty good, cutting it. Some of the other fellas letting it grow out. But you can watch a person, you know, they let their hair grow out and then they'll cut it off and grow out. That person is double-minded and half-hearted and up and down, unstable. Won't have nothing but problems. Won't ever really live an overcoming life. Because that's the spirit. You can watch them. If you think I'm not telling you the truth, watch them and see. One spirit calls for another spirit. A lot of people, they feel like, well, Brother Pike, you know, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody sins. Everybody stumbles. Well, that's a matter of opinion. Let's read from chapter 3 in the book of 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now, you know, speaking on the things that we've spoke on tonight, I want you to notice here in the 6th, 7th, and 8th verse, does a Christian sin? I mean, does he actually sin? Does a Christian actually sin? Somebody says, everybody sins, Brother Pike. Everybody sins. Nobody gets by without sinning. Do they? Do they actually sin? Is the Word of God actually a lie? I mean, is it really a lie, sure enough? Can we actually just say the Bible is a lie and forget about it and say that these people that keep saying everybody sins, I'll just say, well, they know what they're talking about. The Bible's just a lie. Should we do that? Or should we do what the Bible teaches and let every man be a liar and let the Word of God be true? All right, and what does the Word of God say? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Now, somebody would say, well, you got to interpret that. Well, how do you interpret it? There's bound to be somebody out of this congregation here that has the interpretation. Bound to be somebody. Out of all this many people, surely God has revealed to somebody the interpretation of it. And if he has, I would like for somebody tonight to interpret it for me. It's verse 6. It says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Now, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that means that if you continue to do what he tells you. Well, I go along with that. But now, let's look at it for just a minute. Somebody would say, well, what that means is if you continue to live right, you know, and you don't do wrong, then you haven't sinned. I go along with that. But they said, now, if you don't continue to live right and you sin, then that's different. And right there is where we get our wires crossed up. See, there's something wrong right there. The Bible said, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Now, if this has reference to a person that lives a godly life, and it means that as long as they are living a life of holiness, that they are a Christian, and when they quit living a life of holiness, that they are not a Christian. Now, if that's the interpretation of it, then what does the following statement mean when it says, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him? Now, what do we do with that verse? You see, this following verse completely annuls the statement or the thinking that somebody could be right today and wrong tomorrow. It completely does away with that. Because it makes it very plain here that if he's wrong tomorrow, he never was right the day before. Because if he had been right the day before, he would have never been wrong today, the day after. And if he isn't right the day after, he never was right the day before. Because it makes it very plain in that he is not right the day following, that he never did see God to start with. He never did see God. Like the Bible said, they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. That was why they left us. They did not leave us because they quit living good and just got in bad shape and they were a good Christian yesterday and today they're not a good Christian. They went out from us because they never were a good Christian. They were in our midst as wandering stars, as wells without water. They were spots and blemishes in our feast of charity. They never did belong to God nor the body of Jesus Christ. They were there to trouble us, and they were the sons of Satan and the daughters of Satan that was in our midst to cause us problems. And finally, the water got too hot and they just got out. Because the Bible said the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. When things get just right, the devil's going to get out. Did you know that? You get things just right and they'll get out. Now, they'll just leave. So then they're the kind of people that is numbered with us, but they're not really in the congregation of the righteous. For we are sitting together in heavenly places as a heavenly congregation. They are not in those realms at all. They are not related to those realms. They don't have any part of those realms. They are in a different dimension altogether. So it is obvious here, according to the fourth verse, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. It is obvious by that statement that a transgressor of the law is a sinner. And whoever is not born of God is a transgressor of the law. For the Bible said, he that is fallen from grace is under the law. And it says here in the seventh verse, little children, let no man deceive you. All right, I preached on false prophets the other night. It said, don't let any man talk you into the wrong thing and indoctrinate you the wrong way. Don't listen to what anybody's got to say contrary to the word of God. whether he be a preacher in this denomination or that denomination or another denomination. Make him show you the Word of God, line upon line and precept upon precept. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. A person that is righteous will do righteousness. He won't just talk righteousness. He won't just come to church, maybe give an offering and shout and holler and dance once in a while or be numbered with the saints of God. But he will do righteousness every day in the week, 24 hours around the clock. He will do righteousness. Because he hath the divine nature of Jesus, he cannot do anything but righteousness. Now listen to this. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, are we to believe what the Bible says? What would a man think if you went up to him and you just told him, you know, now him professing Christianity, and you saw that he wasn't doing according to the Bible, and you say, sir, look, you're of the devil. Now, how would he feel? You say, well, that's not the way to do it. That's the way Jesus did it. He said, you're of your father, the devil. Said, you're a liar, and if I was like you, I'd be a liar. Said, you're going to do his will, because that's what you came for. And I'm going to do the will of my father, because that's what I came for. Now, is that right? Is one thing for sure, they didn't misunderstand what he said, did they? Wasn't no double talk about that. The preachers that was preaching over the hill, God loves you, God loves you, just drop your dollar in the offering. Them that carried the message that Jesus was preaching, they could sure tell the difference between the two preachers. Wasn't no problem. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, is that what the Bible really means? I mean, how do you interpret that, folks? I'm asking you, how do you interpret that? It said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. How do you interpret that? You say, well, you got to know what sin is. All right, let's look and see what sin is. The Bible said all unrighteousness is sin. Now, how do we interpret it? Now that we know what sin is. All unrighteousness is sin. And the Bible said right above it, every man that loves God doeth righteousness. Okay, now you say, well, you got to interpret what righteousness is. Okay, what righteousness is when you do the way that Jesus done. That's righteousness. The Bible said we should follow in his steps, who did no sin. Isn't that right? All right, he was our example. Now, so then he that committeth sin is of the devil. Somebody said, well, the way I see it, Brother Pike, he made a mistake. Well, the way I see it, he's of the devil. See, that proves that me and you are looking at it through two different eyes and two different views. You say, the way I see that thing, when he went out there and he took advantage of somebody out there and something that he ought not to, whether it be the transaction of his bills, whether it was a negotiation with people, or whether it was to lust after somebody or commit wrong, or whether it was to joke a little bit and say some things he had no business saying, whether it was to pull a little deal on the side and cut his employees short while he made an extra dollar, or if it was to gossip a little bit and cut the church down and backbite a little bit. And I said, I see that as a mistake. I see that as sin. You say, well, I see that as a dear brother that made a mistake. I see that as a person that is of the devil that's committing sin, the spots and blemishes in our feast of charity. You say, you really believe that? I really believe that. That's what the Bible says. Is that sin? The things that they're doing, is that sin? Sure, it's sin. Then if it's sin, the Bible said he that committeth sin is of the devil. It didn't say if he commit two sins or three sins or four sins or five sins, or it didn't say if he commit a certain kind of sin. It just said if he commits sin, he's of the devil. How are you listening at me now? Somebody said, but I'm talking about them horrible things, Brother Pike. That sin was a horrible thing that Eve done according to the record, and of course there's a lot of things said about it. But the horrible thing she did was just disobey God and eat of the fruit that he told her not to eat of. That's all she did. And it was enough sin that it caused all of humanity to fall into the wrath of God and death to be pronounced upon every living human being. That's all. That's all. So then if we look at it like that, then that makes sin pretty bad, doesn't it? That makes it pretty bad. So that means that your gossiping is bad. Well, how bad is gossiping? Since we're talking about this, a lot of people, they say a few things here and a few things there and a few things to this brother's back and a few things to that sister's back. Now, how bad is backbiting? It is this bad. It is sin. And what is that, Brother Pike? It is the thing that devils do. And what is that when people do that? What does that mean? It means they're of the devil. You say, Brother Pike, what are you preaching? I'm preaching the word. He that committeth sin is of the devil. How many of you agree to backbite is sin? Somebody said, well, I don't think it's that serious. I don't think God would just, you know, well, I just don't. But let's look at it the way the word says it and not add our thinking to it. The Bible said not to lean to your own thinking and understanding. It's wrong to start with. Let's just see how serious it is. The Bible said, he that backbiteth with his tongue shall not stand in the holy hill of God. That's how serious it is. If a man's got something to say about his brother and sister to their back, and that thing is backbiting, that means that they lost their eternal life or their opportunity to eternal life. You can't lose eternal life. If you ever get it, you got it. But you lost your lost your opportunity to eternal life. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible said you will not stand in the holy hill of God. You will not. Now, you know, we say many things concerning people. We say many things to the back of people. It's impossible to live in this world and not to talk about people when they're not present. That's impossible. You can't do that. Or I've never heard of it. But folks, it's not impossible to bridle your tongue. You know, when you put a bridle on a horse, you're not stopping the horse from going anywhere. You're just putting a bridle on the horse to guide him as he goes. And when you bridle your tongue, that's not impossible. Isn't that right? The tongue is a little member. It is set on fire by the course of hell. The man that can bridle his tongue is a perfect man. And the Bible said, if any man among you, woman too, if anyone seems to be religious, and they bridle not their tongue, this man, this woman, this person's religion is in vain. They wasted their time because they won't stand in the hill of God. All right, let's look at it a little closer. It is not impossible to have a spirit of love. It is not impossible to have a spirit of understanding. It is not impossible to discuss people for their benefit and for their good and have a motive behind what you're saying to the end that you're trying to establish something godly and something holy, whether in your family or in your heart or in your assembly or whatever. That's not impossible. You can do that. People can do that. That's not hard, and that is not impossible. It's impossible not to say anything concerning people. If you open your mouth, you're going to be talking about people one way or another. And the most of the time, the people aren't going to be there. But any time that you open your mouth and you have the wrong motive, any time that you take an approach unto somebody in the wrong way, anytime you have the wrong thoughts, the wrong motive, a selfish motive or means for your own personal benefits of the flesh, you're in trouble with God. Did you know that? You're in trouble with God. Anytime that you do that, you're in trouble with Almighty God because you're backbiting. All right. Then he that committeth sin is of the devil. So what are we going to do? The Bible said he that abideth in Christ, he don't sin. For it tells us that he that is born, says in the 9th verse, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Therefore, if a brother or sister is sinning, then, as you would say, a brother or sister, the Bible said false brethren. If they are sinning, they are of the devil. They are false brothers and sisters. They are of the devil. They are the children of the devil. How can you say that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said he that sinneth is of the devil. And it says here that a true brother and sister cannot sin. They don't sin. They cannot sin. There's no way that they can sin. Not only does it say this, but it says in the 10th verse, in this, it's by this means, John tells us, it's by this one thing, just by this one thing, that we are able to recognize the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what it means is that, you know, down in your spirit you don't sin, and down in your heart you just, you know, God just allots it to you as not being sin. It doesn't mean that at all. If that's what it means, then what does the 10th verse mean when it speaks of in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness. Now this is talking about deeds. The one that don't do right. Deeds. And we're talking about deeds. Not talking about believing right now. Believing is what prompts deeds. You got to believe right to be able to do right. Here it says, in this the children of God are manifest. Or that is made known to the human eye and to the world, to people. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. All right, somebody said, well, I can love my brother, but them others. Pray for them that persecute you. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. If there is a woman in here, or a man in here, or a person in here that you don't love, then you need to get born again. That's all. Because if you've got the love of God in your heart, there's not one human being in this room but what you genuinely love them from your heart. All right. So then we see here in this little thing tonight, we're going altogether different from what we intend to go. We intended to talk to you about a revelation of Jesus Christ, and this is really a revelation right here. When you get it revelated to your mind that you can't do evil and get to heaven, you've really learned something. He says here in the 28th verse of the 2nd chapter, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I'd hate to be ashamed when he appears in the heavens, wouldn't you? Said you better stay in him. It says abide in him. And it says whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And it says here, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Is that right? It says here, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is taught, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now it says here that this is the anointing that's teaching us, according to John. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. It says this is the anointing that's teaching us, and it's no lie. And the anointing says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, and he that is born of God cannot commit sin. Now, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of other things, because I sure would like to tonight. I really had some things that, to me, I would like to have gone into as far as the revelation of the Lord, of the spiritual things. But folks, as long as there are people in our midst that have no more fear of God than to do some of the things that I made mention of tonight, then Brother Pike needs to preach against sin. I haven't got one person doing these things, but I mean there's numbers of people that are doing these evil, wretched, ungodly, unheard of things. You know why they're doing them? Because they are of the devil. Somebody said, well, it's because they slip. No slipping about it. They are of the devil, or they wouldn't do them. The Bible said, if the love of the world is in your heart, the love of the Father is not there. If you think an evil thought toward a woman or a man, you give place to that. The love of God is not in you. You are of the devil. It doesn't take two thoughts, one thought. That's all. You are of the devil. It doesn't take two thoughts, just one thought. That's all. That one thought will send you to hell. That's all it takes. The bride that Christ has purchased, the Bible teaches it hath no spots, no blemishes. If you backbite and tear down your brother with bitterness in your heart, with ill motive, one time it's because you are not born again. You don't have to do it two times. You're not born again if you do it one time. Just one time. You say, well, now, Brother Pike, I didn't know it was like this. The Bible said straight is the gate. Straight is like a straight jacket. It fits just exactly the way it's put on. Narrow is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many shall go in thereat. When I purge Zion and bring them again, they'll all speak the same thing, and the trees, my trees, shall be so few that a little child shall be able to number them. Brother Branham one time said so close that out of 2 million people like Atlanta, one person would go. Now, folks, I'm trying to tell you about God. I'm trying to tell you about righteousness. I'm trying to tell you the right way. I don't see that just exactly the way Brother Branham said it, in the way that it sounds, because perhaps he didn't mean it that way, and perhaps it will be that way. Who knows? It's going to be tight. But I do see it this way, comparatively speaking, considering the multitudes that has passed on down through the years. Put all of the saints of God together at the end, and all of them that's been born in the world that perished, And you'll just about have the comparison that our brother spoke of. It's going to be so narrow. So we need to consider and reconsider. You know, a lot of women in the world, I married one. That's all. A lot of men in the world, she married one. That's the way it is with Christ. He's got a bride. But it's going to be mighty narrow when it's narrowed down. If you've got the love of the world in your heart, and I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. I'm giving you some good, sound doctrine. And the Bible said in the last days, they won't endure this kind of preaching. They won't sit through it. They won't listen to it. You saw two men get up and walk out tonight. They won't listen to it. They'll heap to themselves teachers with a little rock and roll and a little beating of the drums and a little tambourines and shouting and hollering. Heap to themselves teachers because they've got itchy ears. They don't want you to tell them nothing about godliness or righteousness. They want something. They say, the Bible teaches this, prophesy unto us smooth things. The place where you dwell is too straight. The thing you say is too rough. Prophesy unto us. God loves us. God's going to bless us. God's going to be with us. Prophesy unto us smooth things. The devil knows that. So the devil's got a land full of prophets that's taking in dollars by the bushels, and he's just a prophesying smooth things. And he's a taking it in. But God said concerning those smooth prophets, cursed is the man that sets a light by the dead. He said, you've wearied me in calling the wicked good. Woe unto that man that calls evil good and darkness light. So when you got the love of the world in you, when you got the lust of the flesh in you, you need to be born again. Folks, it's just that simple. I'm going to say this in closing tonight. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I don't believe in God? I didn't say that you didn't believe in God. The Bible said if you believe as one God, you do well. The devil believes too. He trembles when he thinks about it, and I'm sure sometimes you tremble. But that don't mean you got salvation. It don't mean that you're not of the devil. If the devil can believe there's a God and be the devil, you can sure believe that there's a God and be of the devil. So then that don't mean a thing. The Bible said, if you have not my spirit, you're none of mine. That's the secret, folks. That's the secret. Let me say these one or two little things to you, and I want you to listen real close. I try as a Christian, and you should do it, and we all should do it. We should try to be a light. You know, there are some people in the world that are born of the Holy Spirit. They are mature in the Holy Spirit, and they are parents in the church. And the parents should lay up for the children, that is food for the children. They should search things out that there may be meat in the house of God. There are also people that are born of the Holy Spirit that are babes in Christ that desire the sincere milk of the Word. They are babes in Christ. There are also people in the church. They are in the presence of the Shekinah, not born of the Shekinah. They are reflectors. But there are people that have duties, whereas the Bible said the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. You may have a servant to come over your house, work all day. When the day is finished, the servant goes home. But the son doesn't go home. The children doesn't go home. They're at home. They abide there all the time. At sundown, as the song says, at sundown, the servants will go home. But we are children of God. We abide forever. We abide forever. Isn't that right? Amen. We abide in the presence of God. We live in the presence of God because we are of God, but not the servant. So then there are people that do service to God that are overshadowed by the Shekinah because they do service to God. People, who knows, maybe like Reagan's and many others, whereas Reagan might be a son of God. That's between him and God. But I'm using him as an example. A lot of the charismatic figures. Let's say it that way so as not to point at anybody. A lot of those people are servants. They're overshadowed by the Shekinah in this day of grace because they've got duties to do unto God, to hold this thing together while we're getting our schooling and going through our training here, while we're getting ready for the next world. And they come in and out the church. We have them in the church the same way, that whole post of duties. And they do things in the church and among us. And our light overshadows them. And we provide light for them while they carry on their duties. Even Judas, if you want to get to that kind of depths, obtained part of that ministry. He had a job to do. But folks, it's like the Bible said, all that come out with Israel was not of Israel, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Some going with us all the way, looking back into Egypt all the time, wanting the garlic and the onions and the lust of the flesh and the money and everything they can get. Their heart's not in God. Their heart's not in God. Some of these women that wear these long dresses, they despise them. That's right. They only wear them because their husband makes them wear them. But I'm going to tell you something right there. I'm going to pause for a moment. Sometime on the radio, they say we pause for station identification. I want to identify the people here.
Praise the Lord.
If you wasn't a Christian, young lady, elderly lady, or lady, whoever you are, you need to have enough decency about you to cover your neckness up. That's just plain common sense that God gave us. You need to do that. And I contest your outlook by saying this one thing. If I wear pants down to my ankles to cover my body, then it's just good common sense that if you are a woman that you ought to cover yours. You ain't making no sacrifice by wearing a long dress. You're just being downright decent, that's all. That's just good common sense that you ought not run around showing your neckness. Somebody says, but it's the style. I know it. It's the style to be whorish and go to hell. Somebody say, I love Jesus. So you talk mighty plain, Brother Pike. The Bible said the great whore goes into the deep ditch, and the deep ditch has to do with hell. You're just plain being whorish, that's all. That's all. You need to put on some clothes. You say, but Brother Pike, everybody does it. I know, but everybody used to didn't do it. It's your way of life today. It's not God's way of life. You say, but it's the set way of life to do, Brother Pike. Go back just a few years ago and look at your grandmother and look at the ladies back there. I can show you some pictures if you'd like to see them. I've got a picture of Betty's mother. If it hasn't been taken home, her dress no older. She's been here with you. And her dresses are down to the ankles. So you're not making any sacrifice, ladies, and wearing long dresses. You're just trying to be a lady, that's all. And if a husband will let his wife run around indecent, there's something wrong with that man anyway. I'll tell you, if he's going to let her run around half naked, there's something wrong with him anyway. Now, I'm just as honest as I can be about it. You can judge any way you want to. But if a woman's going to do that, I wouldn't live with her. You say, why? Because she is a whore. That's why. Not only that, but it's grounds for a divorce. Oh no, Brother Pike, yes it is. Jesus said if a woman commits fornication or adultery, you put her away. But Brother Pike, that ain't adultery. The Bible said if any woman look on a man to lust after him, or he on her, they've committed adultery with each other already in their heart. Now, so then, not only that, but you can wear the long dresses and still be a whorish woman. And I say this again, and I'm going to say it again. Some of you ladies has got some men that wear form-fitting clothes, so I had a man to come to me yesterday. I didn't think nobody paid any attention to it but me. But this man came to me about another young man here. And he said, that man makes me sick. The tight clothing that he wears, being around his companion and her having to come in and out in church and around, said it's downright filthy, or the words that he used might not have been just those, but that was the essence of it. And it's right, because it's a devil of lust. The man's got a devil of lust. He's lewd because of a devil of lust. And you better watch your wife around him. He comes to this church, but you better watch your wife around him, because he'll undermine your home, because it's a devil. When you see a man running around in tight form-fitting clothes, and the preacher preaches against it, and he continues to do it, he'll undermine your home. Now you listen to what I'm telling you, because it is a devil, and a bold devil at that. And when you see a woman that'll wear form-fitting clothes in that kind of condition, when she's warned not to do it and do those things, that woman will undermine your home. And you know, some of you women are not very wise anyway. You're not very wise anyway. I'm trying to help you tonight, because some of your husbands have been to me, and I'm trying to help you. I tried to talk to some of your husbands a long time ago, and some of them couldn't get through. But they're seeing that what I told them is right. You need to listen to me. You need to listen to me. Some of the women that is visiting in your home and trying to entice you to go out into the world, they've got their eyes on your husband, and they're waiting for you to make a slip, because they're going to get him. Now, if you think that I'm just telling you something, you watch and see, young ladies. If you think you're smart and you think you're doing something, you watch and see if it don't come to pass. That's just how evil and low down Lucifer is. That's just how unwise you are. And when you put away God and you decide that you don't want God and you want to be worldly, you are doing away with the best insurance you ever had. The insurance of keeping your husband, the insurance of keeping your wife, the insurance of keeping your children, keeping your home, keeping your sanity, keeping your health, and the insurance of God protecting you in wrecks out on the highway, the insurance of having something to eat and being taken care of by God, as well as having eternal life. When you drop that insurance, you are finished. You make plans today to drop it, and you don't want to be part of God. All you do is counsel out on the breath of life. That's all you do. All you do is you say, God, from henceforth, no more breath of life for me. I'm through with life. And you counsel out. So you get in the car to take a trip or go visiting, and you go off and they put you in a hole because you counsel out on life. That's how serious it is, folks. But you say, but I don't want that, Brother Pike. I know you don't. A lot of people want to be like a hog. They want to glutton and eat and take everything God's got and all of the blessings God's got. That's the way Lucifer is. Live it up and want all of God's protections and blessings. But you're not going to get it, folks. He's angry with the wicked every day. And in the day that we're living in, folks, the knowledge of God is everywhere, and judgment is falling just as swift as it can fall. Whereas in the past it didn't do that, because you didn't know and didn't understand. But in the day we're living in, it's falling fast. So now you think it over. Brother Pike came here especially tonight to do this. I had it in my heart to preach Revelation, but just before I come here, the Lord turned this thing around. And I believe that he did it for one reason, that I might be very plain and explicit with you, that you might from this night forth be completely guilty in the sight of God if you do those evil, wretched things. I made it very clear and very plain. The Macon meeting, the meeting that's coming on in Macon and the one that we had in Atlanta, Georgia, these two meetings are highly significant, and we've got everything set for the Macon meeting, which I believe will be a great meeting. But the significance of the Macon meeting, what it has to do with what I'm talking about tonight, folks, the end of you. And when I say you, I mean the Gentile people. I mean the beast and the brute beast and them that's played the hypocrite and them that are the foolish and them that have been spots and blemishes. God is fixing to turn your light off once and for all. And you're literally going to be shocked if you're not careful, because some of you are so sure that you have a light, but you are a reflector. And you watch what I'm telling you. You're going to be shocked. And I want to tell you this little illustration one more time here that I've told in time gone by. A lot of you that think you're so righteous could be my wife, could be me, could be my daughter, could be any of you. It depends on our attitude. It depends on whether we've got God in our heart. Could be any of you. But some of you that think you're righteous think that everybody else is unrighteous. You can be head over heels in trouble and not know it. Did you know that? It would behoove you to check up. It behooves me to check up every day. Every day of my life, by the help of God, I try to check up. Every day that rolls around, I try to check up, because I greatly fear God. And the Bible said, examine yourselves, see if these things be in you, lest you be a reprobate. Prove yourself and see if the fruits of the Spirit is in you, unless you be a reprobate. See if you've got eternal life. See if you're elect. Now, remember, you can feel that what Brother Pike says is for the other one, the other one, the other one, the other one. And you can resent what I'm saying and find fault in your surmising mind, evil surmising mind, and accuse every time that I get up here to preach. But you're going to pay for that, every thought. You can evilly surmise in your mind and accuse others, and you're going to pay for that. And you can point a finger of accusation at your brother or sister. You're going to pay for that. What you do to one another, you do it to Jesus. When you perceive there's no understanding in a man or woman, get away from them. Stay away from them. Don't fellowship them. You men, keep your wives away from women. That's not right. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Likewise, you women, keep your husbands away from that. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Know something about your companion, where they're going and what they're doing. Don't let them just be freelance to go do like they want to. You never ask about it. Somebody says, well, I never bother my husband and my wife. That's because you don't have much wisdom. Well, I just let her go where she wants to, and I let him go where he wants to, because I trust him. That's because you're foolish. The Bible said, we are they that have no confidence in the flesh. I trust God, and he's the only one that I trust. I trust him in the life of whoever I see him in. I don't trust the flesh at all, not even my own. Now, you need to wise up. A lot of homes wouldn't be broken up today if they'd have wised up, if they'd have watched, if they'd have prayed, like God said. Watch and pray. Know something about what's going on, who's coming around, why they're coming around, where they're going. You say, that's jealousy. That's not jealousy. That's good common sense. And besides that, God said, I'm a jealous God. I'm telling you this tonight. You say, well, you're taking too long. Well, if you got to leave, you can leave. But I'm telling you, because there's some homes at stake. I know for a fact they're at stake. Now, it's a heart-rending thing, folks, when homes are torn to pieces. It's a heart-rending thing. Listen. Do something about it. Watch as well as pray. And pray as well as watch. And don't be so quick to blame somebody else. Find out something. Find out something. You know, and don't take the idea that you are the son of the house and not a servant. And the other man is a servant and not a son. The little illustration, the man that had two daughters, one accused the other, constantly riding the back of the other, as we say, saying that you are adopted. You are adopted. You are adopted. And you've heard me tell the little story. You are adopted. And so the sister always said that until one day the parents called him and sat down and talked with him and said, you know what? Said, we don't like to do this. They wanted the girl to be happy. So they had had the other girl to suffer all that the girl had said. But they said, it's not like you think at all. Not like that at all. The accusing girl was the adopted. And the one that was being accused that received all of it was the true child. The true child. The true child. And they had stretched out in love so as not to offend or to ever let her know. God has done the same thing, folks. God has done the same thing. The banker, the dentist, the doctor, the lawyer, they huff and they puff. The rich man and the educated, the comfortable, those that have convenience, those that are out in the world, the religious that's got all the conveniences, they huff and they puff. And they criticize the child that God doesn't love, you and I. God doesn't love us as far as they're concerned. And we're the adopted one. But one day they're going to wake up to the fact that they're the bond's child. And that we are not the adopted. John said, now, beloved, ye are the sons of God. Though there is an adoption coming, and there's going to be an adoption, just like it was, as Paul said, concerning the Jews, because the Jews took the idea that they were and everybody else was dogs. But when the time comes, the Jews are the ones to be adopted. We're the true Jew. The world, the body, will come into an adoption. But ours are the sons of God. So a lot of times you out there that are so high and mighty, that feel like that you're so important and the others are a bunch of dogs and you know and they don't know. And you're so sure that God put you out there and they're just there to serve you. You better wake up because it couldn't be the other way around. The mere fact that you've got that attitude and that kind of mind proves something is wrong with you. All right, folks, let's stand together. I told you tonight, like it is, I explained to you very thoroughly. In the event you forget it, Brother Bill's probably got this on tape. Brother Pike has not tried to be critical. I've not tried to be ugly. I've tried to be explicit and to the point. Now, you men would do well if you would find the ones that go around in their form-fitting pants, and when one gets through talking to him, the other would talk to him. And when he gets through, the other would talk to him. When he gets through, the other would talk to him. Until you run him through the fire so much. You say, well, I think we'll run him off. He needs to be run off. A devil needs to be run off. You need to run him off or run him in, one of the two. If he's a devil, he'll run off. Otherwise, the devil will leave him if he's a child of God and he'll come in. You don't have to be arrogant. You just have to be thorough. Now, the same way with you women. You don't have to backbite and tear down somebody. When you see a woman dressing improper, you need to go to her and say something about it. One sister and then another sister and then another sister and another sister till you get it out. The Bible said purge out the old leaven, get it out from among you and be a new lump. If you don't, that one rotten cancer is going to rotten the whole body. You love Jesus? All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I love you. You find an old backbiting spirit, an old temperamental spirit, an old, ugly, degrading spirit, lustful spirit, fault-finding spirit, spirit of lethargy, unconcern, no mind to work, won't do anything. Whereas the Bible said they built the walls back because they had a mind to do something or work. A spirit that's constantly doing that, accusing the brethren because they're too lazy to work themselves, in the sense of taking their position and going on and always saying they can't do it, they can't do it, because a line in the street is in the street because the brother won't help. The brother is to blame. You need to rebuke them openly. The Bible said open rebukes are better than secret love. You need to openly rebuke them that others might see and fear. The Bible said, ye that are spiritual, go to them, not just anybody. For you not to rebuke an elder. Some of you run around, you're novice, and you just rebuke an elder. You're not to do that. You're to go to them that are spiritual. Let them go to the ones that need reproving. Let them reprove them. Lest they be tempted also, let them go in the spirit of meekness. Otherwise, they'll be in as bad a shape as the other fellow. But for sure, let them go to them. If they won't hear them, let them bring it before the church. If it's brought before the brotherhood, and then they won't hear the brotherhood, the Bible said let that person be like a heathen and a publican. Withdraw from every brother that walks disorderly. Don't have no fellowship with them. Let them be ashamed. Just let them be like the heathens out yonder. Let them be like a publican. Likewise, among the sisters, the same way. Brethren, then God will move in our midst. Then God will bless us. Then God will do something for us. God will add to the church daily such as should be saved. We'll have a great, wonderful thing then. But as long as it's the other way around, it'll never be nothing. It'll never be nothing. Let's sing this little chorus. You know, today I was looking at a book. They sent me a book from 700 Club. They sent me all kind of books. And I looked and I saw those pictures and those different things. And I thought, how pitiful. Them people actually believe they're winning the world. What a pity. Women dressing out in every manner. Man the same. Doing every kind of thing. Mixing darkness with light, or so they think. Every kind of thing. And they think they're winning the world. What a terrible mess they've gotten themselves into. And they think that's winning the world. Well, I'll have to say this one thing. It is winning the world. They really are. But they're not doing anything for God. Did you know that? They're winning the world, all right. Money, prestige, the doctor, the lawyer, everybody that will follow them, the weak, the contemptible. Those that don't want to live right, those that don't want to do right, those that want to take an easy way out, that don't want to have holiness in their life, they're winning them and they're following them. Football and baseball and frolic and everything else. Those that love the world go after them because it's a worldly thing. It's a worldly thing. And they are winning the world. But I tell you something, folks, if you want to get out of this world, you want to get in Christ, and get the world out of you, then you're going to have to call on the name Jesus. You're going to have holiness. Now let this last few words stay with you before we sing tonight. I want you to think this over now. I say this ever so often to open your eyes. The devil will say, let's go out into the world. Look at all the good things you're missing. And so some of the boys go out into the world and they wind up in prison and they wind up in jail and they wind up in trouble and they wind up losing their minds and they wind up with cancer. They wind up with problems. They wind up with diseases. They wind up in wrecks. They wind up being killed. But the devil will say, let's go out into the world. You're missing a lot of good things. How you think on this? There is not one thing that you miss by staying with God. You can eat, you can drink, whether it be ice cream, Coca-Cola. You can sleep on a feather bed. You can drive a good automobile. You can have money. You can build a house. You can buy land. You can go riding in the boat. You can wade out in the pond. You can go down to the ocean. You can go up in an airplane. Are you listening? You can go shopping. You can buy yourself clothes. You have your own wives. You have your own husbands. You're not deprived of human relation. Now, tell me, aside from all of the things of life that God has given you, what can you get out there that the devil can give you? One thing that he will give you that God will not give you, that is perversion. When you get out there, he will make you violate the laws of marriage. Though it won't be any different from what God's already allowed in your life, but yet you're violating the laws of marriage and you bring the judgments on you. You start taking dope. You start drinking strong drink. The Bible said give strong drink to them that's ready to perish. You start taking dope to become a vegetable or to injure your brain. Somebody said taking a trip ain't no trip to it. You're just slipping a cog, as somebody has said. You're wrecking your brain is what you're doing and not having enough sense to see it. Now, pills, dope, drinking. Folks, I want to be at my right mind. When I was a sinner, I didn't go around popping pills. I didn't go around drinking whiskey. I seen men drink whiskey, and I'd look at them puke all over themselves, vomit, and I'd see the dirty, evil foolishness that they carried on. I'd see their low, a base way of doing, and they act like a fool. What other words can you use? They act like a fool. And I was sober, and I'd look at them, and I'd think, well, I don't want to act like that. Sometimes they got in jail. Sometimes they cut people up or got cut up. I didn't want nothing like that. Folks, I wanted to be at my right understanding. I wanted to know where I was at and what I was doing, why I was doing it. Even when I was a sinner, how much more now that I got God? People are foolish to do things like that. What can you get out there? You can't get nothing out there. The devil don't have nothing to offer you. All there is, if you don't have a love for the truth when you hear it, God will let the devil send you strong delusions. And what will happen? It'll be like a fairyland. It'll be like a merry-go-round. It'll be like something great and mighty that you're missing. Oh, it'll be such a bright, glittering thing. You've just got to get to it. And the spider web will sparkle with the dewdrops until you get glued in real good. And then the spider will close in for the kill. Send you strong delusions and make it sound like there's something out there. Lying divination, strong delusions to cause you to believe a lie and be damned because you had no pleasure in the truth. Now, do you want that kind of thing? You're sober. You're wide awake. You can see. Folks, wake up. Don't be foolish. All of this life is but a few days and full of trouble. Take God with you. All the paths of God are peace. You can have everything in this world. Be rich. Ride on the high places of the earth. Feed on the heritage of Jacob. Have health and happiness. Have blessings and safety in the time of trouble. Storms, tornadoes, and all these things is coming to you. You that got children, you're going to go through the meal. You just wait and see. You're going to need God. It's going to get darker and darker. So then think it over, folks. And you that just want to run the road It's because of your wild passions. You're not fooling anybody. You don't have any evangelistic calling. Evangelistic calling don't work like that. You just got them wild passions and you just can't stay with one woman. You just got to go, that's all. That's all. Adulterous generation. Let's sing this little chorus together. I love him. I love him because he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I had a young man, his wife is sitting in here. He's a real brilliant person. He come to me the other day. He said, you know, I've always thought I was smart. Said, I really thought I was intelligent. Said, I thought I was brilliant. He said, but you know, I'm learning different. And he said he was learning that he was being deprived of the real thing. He said, you know, the real thing of God is over there with you brethren at Bethlehem. And he said, and I'm not going to deprive myself of it. I'm going to do something about it. You love Jesus? Sing it again, will you? I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I wonder if I know this brother standing back up here in the back behind Brother John. Do I know this black brother that's standing up here and the sister? Do I know them? Do you know Brother John, who they are? Maybe I know him and just don't recognize him because it's a four back. Oh, Sister Floyd's daughter. Who's a young man? A friend? All right. Certainly glad to have him here with us. I didn't think I recognized him before. I mean, you know, I've been here before. All right. Now, if you love the Lord, do something about the things I said. You young fellas, you need to do something. You go up and down the stairs, in and out too much in my services. I warned some of you the other day about the wrath of God, but I see you're not paying any attention to him. You're still going up and down them stairs and in and out. Brother Jerry's not here to say anything to you about it. I love you. Brother Pike's not trying to embarrass you, but I warned you. You know what? Right over where you're standing, a young fella has gone to meet his maker. Stood right there. I want you to listen. I love you. I want to help you. Don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. You don't have to do those things of going up and down them stairs and in and out. The young ladies over here don't have to do it with a regularity either. You better have respect for the Lord. When you're pressed with necessity, that's a different thing. But you're going to get the wrath of God because of your irreverence. Watch what I'm telling you. I'm going to say one other thing in closing. You that keep on saying, well, I think I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. I'm tired of this. I'm going to leave. I don't like what they've done. They mistreated me. I'm going to leave. You know what? After a while, God's going to get tired of it, and he's going to harden your heart, so you will leave, and he's going to drive you off. And brother, when he does, he's going to put you through the fire like you've never been put through it in your life. The more that you've learned since you've been here, the hotter the fire is going to be. And when he gets through with you, I'll guarantee you, things is going to be different. Now, I want you to listen at me tonight. When you are put in a position to do something, I was talking about this today, and I am going to close. When you're put in a position to do something, ladies or men alike, And you are deceitful in that you're not living right. You're in for trouble. And if you are deceitful in that you've got your own motive, your own thing in mind, future project, and you're staying with me and this ministry so that you can take the things that we've got, whether tapes, books, whatever we got available, heap it up, fill your sack up, disfellowship the brethren, pull off to yourself, fill your sack up, neglect your postal duty because of no concern, a half-hearted attitude, because you're not interested anyway, just occupying a place. Fill your sack up so you can run off and just cut everybody off. You are going to be in bad circumstance. Now you mark what I'm telling you. I've done seen it happen before. You say, Brother Pike, would God do that as sure as you breathe your breath? He'll tear you up. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, he will do it. You know what God would do? He will tear you up. Can't you just picture a house burning down, some little children burning up, and you could run over there and save them? But you're too busy doing your own thing, and you don't have time to mess with those little screaming, pleading children. In 4 or 5 days, you got some children you're going to save over here that belongs to you. When you get ready to go over there to save yours, most likely yours is going to be in the same condition that you let them stay in. And God's going to burn your hide up because you let them little fellas scream. 2 or 3 years you stand in a position and you neglect and you hinder the ministry of Almighty God and the work of Almighty God and the world outreach because of your foolishness and your melancholiness and because of your future plans and having no interest and concern. And you keep me from winning souls and helping them poor people and winning the lost, and them people die and go to hell. Their blood's on your hand. Then when you cut loose to go do your thing, the wrath of God is billowing like a pot against you. And everywhere you go, he'll burn your trail. He'll burn your trail. But I tell you what you do, folks. If you'll be faithful even over the unrighteous mammon, God will commit to your trust the true riches. If you'll take a position, if you want a position, if not, leave it so and someone say can. But if you'll take a position and be faithful and do what you can to win them souls while you got a chance to win souls, it will prove your fidelity in God. And God will advance you and bless you and move you on to higher levels and greater things. And in that you are faithful there, you'll come to greater things in God and a greater ministry. And whatever there is in your life, if there be something greater, the Lord will advance you to it and you'll have a great time in God. The Lord will go with you and your ministry will grow greater. But you do it the other way around and see if you don't wind up like Judas, out there committing suicide, hating yourself, hanging yourself somewhere, or whatever, when you pull away and realize what you've done. A brother came to me even this very day and he said, Brother Pike, he said, I done that thing. He said, I done that thing. He said, I paid for it. Said it happened just like you said. Said it happened just like you said. He said, but I'm here to do the right thing. He said, I won't do that no more. Said, I'm doing the right thing now. And he is. He's been a lot of help to me. So folks, think it over now. Think it over. It's all between you and God. Don't marry a man and be deceitful. Don't marry a woman and be deceitful. Love one another. Let's sing that one more time and we'll let you go. I love him. How many believers the right way? I love him. How many believe Jesus is that way? Because he first loved me and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I love you. God bless you. You that live on the campground, don't be deceitful. Don't occupy a place deceitfully. Don't throw a load on the brethren. Be at ease in Zion. Woe unto them at ease in Zion. If you do, it'll look good now, but after a while, it'll be a bad, bad day, and the others will be making it easy. Do right. Do right. Let's lift our hands and close our eyes now. We're going to be dismissed tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Michael Beachy to come over and dismiss you. Let's just close our eyes for just a few minutes. I've told you the truth tonight. I told you because I love you, not to scold you nor to hurt you. But young ladies, young men, you've heard what Brother Pike said. Start your homes off right. If you're not married and you're going to get married, you start your homes off right and you'll be happy. Love one another. Be the right kind of person. If you don't love a man, don't marry him. If you don't love a woman, don't marry her. Don't be foolish. So you got to spend your life with them. And then afterwards, don't be foolish and wreck your life. Whatever. So whatever you do, you listen to Brother Pike. Remember, fornication and adultery is grounds for divorce. And God will let them put you away. Anytime you commit evil, the companion is free from you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Whatever you do, don't do that. When you commit whoredom in your heart, if your companion is a Christian and you commit that evil thing, it breaks the tie between his spirit and yours, and you're no longer one. And if he remains with you, the Bible says that he's joined to a harlot is one flesh, he's also a harlot. If he remains with you, then he's the same thing you are. So whatever you do, do right, folks. Do right. All right, brother.